Today on Real Life Radio.
Have you ever wondered why you're not seeing God move in your life in unusual ways? Have you been content with existing as a believer? You're going to heaven, thank God, but you know what? There's nothing unusual or something that cannot be explained. God is doing something and you can't explain it? It's amazing? Or are things very predictable? I want you to think about that for a moment.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 11, continues a series called The Why Series. The desire to pray? It comes from knowing that God loves us and is always there for us. It's prayer that develops within us the loving character of Jesus Christ and our own capacity to love and care for others. You see, the Bible tells us that it's in Christ that we have our identity. When we came to Christ, we repented of our sins and turned away from the old lifestyle. We then began our new journey of walking in faith and in the light of God's Word. But there comes a time when we need to move forward from the basics of Christianity by moving on towards perfection and into a more intimate experience with God. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that without the Holy Spirit, we really do lack that power to move forward. As the world gets darker, it's only the Holy Spirit's power moving inside of us that we can live out that life full of passion and purpose. And now in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 11, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Grab your Bibles tonight, church, and turn if you would. We're going to cover a lot of verses tonight. I think we do that every night, but I need to go fast this evening because I want to have time at the end for us to actually pray and have God move upon our lives. If you've been with us for a while, we're looking at the Why series. It's an ongoing series that we started, and we're looking now at the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. We've looked at who is he, what does he do, what are the attributes of the Holy Spirit. We looked at the arguments as to how is it that he's a person. The Bible says that you can anger the Holy Spirit. He's not some effervescent, he's not some feeling, he's not a power, he's God. The Bible said he's God, the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, Peter taught us well. In the book of Acts, when that moment was going on and the church was assembling, and Ananias and Sapphira, if you remember, they came together to make the church believe that they gave more money than what they really did. They lied in church about giving. And Peter challenged Ananias and he lied. And right then and there, Peter says, how is it that you've conceived it in your heart to lie unto God? For you have not lied unto God alone, but you've lied unto the Holy Spirit. And in that word of Peter, the Bible tells us that Ananias fell down dead because he told a lie in church. And then his wife came in a few hours later and said, where's my husband? And they said, well, wait, did you guys sell the land for such and such a price and you donated to the church? Or was it some different price? And she lied. Jill said, yeah, it was for that much. And she lied, and the Bible says she fell down dead. Can you imagine if God started doing that tonight? Could you? And the Bible says, and great fear came upon the church. Right after, I bet it did. They angered the Holy Spirit. They lied to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the children of Israel, because of their rebellion against God, they angered the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says he turned and became their enemy. Can you imagine having God as your enemy because of rebellion and disobedience? Gia adequately announced tonight that the Holy Spirit is not a vulture or a buzzard, but he came manifested in the likeness of a dove, and he sat none other upon Jesus himself for the anointing of ministry. The Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Hebrews chapter 6, if you're there in your Bibles, Hebrews 6 verse 13 is where we'll begin. And tonight we're going to be talking about living or moving on, I'd like to say, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Where do we go from here as a church and as a believer? Where do we go? We move on in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 6:13 says, therefore, leaving the discussions. Man, I love this. Leaving the discussions. Move on. leaving the discussions of the elementary principles of Christ, that is the basics, let us go on to perfection or completion. Let's move on now to a deeper walk with God. Not laying again, watch this, first, the foundation of repentance from dead works. That's obvious. Repent from your sins. That's how you come to Christ. That's how you become a new person. You agree with God. Metanoia is that word, to repent, to turn from the direction you're heading. Maybe that's you tonight and you need to turn from the direction that you're heading. And then the word is confess. Ek homologeo, that if you say the same word that God does about your life, God will forgive you. Is that amazing? Isn't that amazing? The God of the universe is saying, just come to me in agreement and then let's move on. Because that is a fundamental basic of the Christian life. We don't need to revisit that if you're a Christian tonight. You know how that life is, a life of walking before the Lord in the light of God. And so he's calling you on to a complete walk. He goes on, and of faith toward God, that's obvious. Verse 2, the third thing is, and of the doctrine of baptisms. In your Bible, right there, circle the word baptisms and underline the S at the end of baptisms. It certainly means water, but we're going to see tonight that it certainly means the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus echoed that at the beginning of his ministry. But Hebrews 6, 13, he's announcing, did I say 13? It's 1, isn't it? Hebrews 1, 2, and 3. That's my fault. I wrote that down wrong. So look at verse 2 of the doctrines of baptisms. Fourthly, of the laying on of hands. That's just normal. Of resurrection of the dead. Everybody knows that. That's what he's saying. Everybody knows these basics. This is what we know as fundamental Christians. Look, he goes on. And of eternal judgment. Verse 3, and this we will do if God permits. More importantly, the end of verse 3 actually reads in the original, God willing, we will move on forward from here. I love that. Let me ask you something. Do you think it's God's will that you and I move on to the next area of Christian maturity? Then we're absolutely. I don't know about you. I hope it's true for you tonight. But there's something in my life, and I trust it's in your life, that all these years, I've been a Christian for 43 plus years, and every year it's like, Lord, what are we going to do this year? Lord, what's next? I don't want to go back and repeat things that I need to learn because I didn't learn the first time. I want to learn them now. I don't want to back up. I want to go. And I believe God wants to move, and the Holy Spirit is the mover, where he takes you and the word and he infuses you into the world around you. But I love the fact that he's telling us, the author of Hebrews, therefore, leaving the discussions of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go or move on. The word baptisms there, this is all foundational to where we're going. Baptisms, plural, that word means the act of being submerged. It means to go under. So whatever he's talking about, it is God's will that you go under in complete identification with Christ. When you go into the waters of baptism, I'm not going to bicker with you tonight about sprinkling, going forward, backward. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to move on from these basics. But the word baptizo means to go under like a submarine. So when you go under, what is that all about? It means that you're announcing that you're identifying with Jesus Christ in his death, burial that is, right? And resurrection, coming up in newness of life. Baptism in water is a public announcement of what has happened to you previously in the spirit. You have come to Christ, your old nature died, and you have a new nature in Christ. And you're called a believer, you're called a follower. And we'll talk on that as well. But the fact is, the water baptism is a symbol. You don't get saved getting dipped in water. That's ridiculous. You ask people, you know, it's pretty crazy. If you go out and witness and talk to people, so you know, I like to tell you about Jesus. Oh, I'm good, dude. I got baptized when I was 9. You know, and the guy's totally a pagan, you could tell. Say, so, wait, you're going to heaven? Oh, yeah, man. Based on what? Got baptized. No, that would be just like a Jew in the Old Testament saying, or even today, saying, I'm going to heaven, I got circumcised. That's not how you get in. Somebody say, thank God. Say, thank God. Doesn't work that way. But what the early church understood about the working of the Holy Spirit in their lives, that he was all essential, all needed. The Holy Spirit is required in the life of a believer. Have you come to that place? The Holy Spirit in my life is no longer an option. If you're involved in ministry or living for Jesus in this world, I am so weak. Oh, let me rephrase that. Let me take that back. We are so weak that we need the Holy Spirit or else we can't make it. And this walk that we have with God is so amazing in this darkening world that we need the Holy Spirit's power and presence all the more. And the early church knew that. And they knew the experiential doctrine of the Holy Spirit. They knew the teaching, and then they knew the power. Unfortunately today, many people know all about Christianity, but they lack power. Why is that tonight? Why is that the case? It ought not to be. It doesn't have to be. Your Christian life should be a dynamic. Dunamis, the power of God, the will of God. Some verses now. Write them down if you would. You can study them later. In Acts chapter 17, verse 28, Acts 17, 28, Paul announced to the Athenians there in Greece, when he's witnessing to them, he says, regarding God, for in him we live and move and have our being. Well, I want to start right there tonight. In him we live and move and have our being. That means that the God of the Bible is the very source of your existence. That's what the Bible says. You say, I'm an atheist. That's okay. It's just that you're ignorant of the God who made you and gave you life in whom you live and move and have your being. It's true. Well, I don't believe in God. It's too bad. He doesn't believe in your atheism. You can't argue God out of the equation. He's everywhere and he's in it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. 2 Peter 1, 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life. Please mark that. The next time you and I are stressed or panicking, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through, how does that happen? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Verse 4, listen. By which we have been given us exceedingly great and precious promises. This is God's word. God says, I give you promises. You can trust him. When man makes us a promise, you know, even if he has good intentions, he might break it. God cannot break his promises. Why don't we knock on that door more, right? Why don't we hang on to him more and say, but God, you promised. Isn't that what Jacob did with him? Isn't that amazing? That whole amazing story with Jacob. He was, Jacob, you know, look, I don't want to talk too much on this part. Jacob was, you would not want to know Jacob in the Bible. He'd probably rip you off. He was one slick guy. And always trying to manipulate things. And the Bible tells us one night, the Lord appears to him in the form of an angel, the angel of the Lord, manifestation of God in skin. Isn't that way? Before the incarnation. And Jacob starts wrestling with him. What a nut. Hey, who are you? Want to fight? My name's Jacob. And the Bible says he's wrestling with the angel, and the morning light starts to come. And shortening the story, he will not give up. And the angel of the Lord touches him in the hip, just boop, and it takes his hip out of joint. And the Bible says all of Jacob's life after that, he limped. God slowed him down so that he could hear, right? Sometimes, you know what, for maybe all of us, it's good to lose a battle with God. It's good to have him win. God says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. The word is state your argument. God says, come on, let's go. State your case. Well, this is why I don't believe in you. And you give it all out. God says, okay, Well, here's the reason why you should, and then God speaks. He wins the arguments. It's a good thing. Precious promises. 2 Peter 1 says that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Listen to the power that God has promised us with the promises in the Bible. Jesus himself confirms this truth in John 14, 25. Again, church, this is introduction to where we're going. These things I have spoken unto you while being yet present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. That's an awesome statement, especially in light of 1 John. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. The Holy Spirit. Church, you cannot learn one spiritual truth about God or from God without the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he's going to teach you all things. And after I leave, he's going to still teach you. Wow. If you've had any enlightenment, any, what is the word, illumination or epiphany, where God has spoken to you and warmed your heart, or a Bible verse jumped off the page, and you said, that's exactly what I need. Oh my goodness, I'm going to hang on to that. I'm going to take that to work today. I'm going to take that to the doctor's office today. You know why that happened? Because the Holy Spirit was at work in your life. It's the Spirit of God who does that. Jesus said, the Spirit of God will exalt me, said Jesus. That's what he does. John 14, 17. Jesus said, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. And that's where we're going to be going tonight. Jesus said, he will be in you and he'll be with you. And we'll see tonight that there's a third function of the Holy Spirit. It's first introduced in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where the Bible tells us there, Jesus is speaking, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Notice this, everybody. It's a different Greek word altogether. And you shall be. Notice, there's no doubt about it. You shall be witnesses to me. And ultimately to the world. This is an amazing thing, because in John 14, 17, Jesus says, the Spirit's been with you. And that's how he is, by the way, with those in the world. Whoever's in the world today, no matter who they might be, the Holy Spirit is with them. You see, what do you mean with them? You mean like with some murderer and some weirdo? Yeah, he's with them, meaning he's alongside them. He's saying things like this, hey, you need to repent. You're going to hell. You're going to die. You are sinning against God. And he convicts. And then to be in you is a reference to salvation. The moment you give your heart to Jesus Christ in faith, the Bible says the Holy Spirit moves inside of you. It's amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But that third function is what we want to talk about tonight. Not exclusively, but predominantly, is the Holy Spirit coming upon you. What does that look like and what should happen? It's quite remarkable and very necessary. Jesus told us to pray. Now listen carefully. You're going to see these verses on the screen. And many of you, I don't know your background theologically, where you came from. Whatever denomination you've come from, you have a predisposition. You know that. We all do. If you're a Catholic, you struggle with amillennialism. That means a lot of the scriptures have been spiritualized to you because you've been taught that way, that not everything is literal, that this is metaphorical or whatever. Unfortunately, it's wrong, but you have that thinking. But there's that amillennial view, there's the premillennial view, postmillennial view, and these three views is where all of us come from, one or the other. So having said that, the best thing to avoid all the man-made views of man is to believe what God says from his word. Amen. When you go around and say, well, if you keep quoting somebody all the time, that's not a good thing. Well, you know, Reverend so-and-so says, forget about him. Pastor Billy Bob says, forget about him. The Bible says, more than ever, we know we need that strength and that confidence. So let's look at Luke 11, for example. All of this is introduction. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. This is what Jesus is saying. Watch this, especially those of you who've never heard this before. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Verse 10, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Verse 11, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? This is Jesus speaking. Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then being evil, that is human, know how to give good gifts to your children. Listen, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Watch. He said that to believers. See, you've been taught, maybe in your background, that he was talking about those he was going to save someday. No, these are believers in him. And this is not only a promise of him speaking to his children, he's talking about giving them, bestowing upon them the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the sustainer. Thus he's referencing food or supply or care. But how much more will your heavenly Father, notice what precedes the fulfillment of the promise. How much more will your heavenly Father, that's the prerequisite, this is my Father talking to me. What's he gonna give me? That's the context. What do fathers give kids? Good things. What does the Father give his children? This is beyond salvation. This is the coming upon power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we need him in our life and ministry. Yes, he's indwelling. Thank God for that. But he's also come now in power. And so I want to ask you a few questions as we get into the study, and then it'll all be done. You think we're never going to end, but we will. So don't answer out loud. Be very honest. Listen, have you ever wondered why you seem to have no power over temptation? Just let that settle in for a moment. Is there a particular sin or sins that just jerk you around? You've got victory in a lot of areas, but these three just rip you up. And it just seems like you're never going to get power over them. You just be thinking about that. Number two, have you ever wondered why you're not seeing God move in your life in unusual ways? Have you been content with existing as a believer? You're going to heaven, thank God, but you know what? There's nothing unusual or something that cannot be explained. God is doing something. And you can't explain it? It's amazing? Or are things very predictable? I want you to think about that for a moment.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 11. We're so glad you joined us today. You know, The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 11, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series. It's a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life as we look to God for all the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, did you know that when you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app for your smartphone or tablet, you have access to Bible reading plans? When it comes to reading and studying the Bible, it's always best to have a plan. That's the truth. Simply download the Real Life mobile app onto your smartphone or tablet and go to the Bible Plus Plan tab. Once you're there, it's pretty easy to figure out what to do. You can start right at the beginning in Genesis, select a verse, skip ahead, whatever you'd like. You can also read along with the audio version for better understanding. It's all right there at the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app. You can access the app through the App Store or at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.